Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Coming up on TMS, you can really taste the conclusion.
What's the scarcity, Kenneth?
From zero to horse carcass in the toilet in 1.8 seconds.
Give me the monkey numbers.
My dinner with Uncle Omicron.
Suspiciously moist nuts.
Prefer angry pig to dried squid.
Address the thong.
It was the monkeys, Marty.
All on the 21s.
The road to Montagreen.
Overtly Asian.
Sweet and sour, just like it's spoiled.
Finding a peanut in the bottom.
Pseudoscience with Bobby and more.
Oh, no.
Oh, you
no,
want me to
no,
sing
we can't
that?
Have that?
All right, well,
yeah.
So I'll do it. Studio.
Oh, it's Sue. He says sing Sue Studio. Come on now.
He is Susu or Sussa? I always thought it was
Sue Pseudoscience. Come
okay,
on.
So Sue Studio. I got studio in there. Sue Studio.
This
again.
All stays in, please, by the way.
Sue Pseudoscience with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Why did this housewife buy beef that didn't please her family, while this one selected delicious steaks for her family? The answer is easy. She knows how to buy beef. She doesn't.
So tired of all the bullshit. I hope your day is good.
This big guy, he's big and fat. He has a white beard. He wears a red suit. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It's December 21st, 2021. I'm Scott. He's Brian. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Scott. Happy Tuesday. Happy solstice.
Ooh, you know what else it is? Let's get this out of the way.
Yeah.
It's the last 21st day of the 21st year of the 21st century.
Whoa.
21-21-21.
That's cool. And in the middle of our show number, our episode number, there's a 21.
Whoa. Oh, my Lord. What have we done?
Illuminati confirmed.
Yep. Aliens. It's all aliens. The whole aliens. I can't say aliens. Aliens the whole time. Yeah. Welcome to that day. It'll never be again. We'll never have a 21-21-21 ever again. And well, right. Until 2021, I guess. Right?
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And we won't be there.
No, we won't be there. I mean, technically 21-21, right? In 100 years, we'll have this.
Oh yeah, 21.
It'll be a whole different. But it'll be a whole different century. So that won't. It'll never be this again.
Mm-mm. It'd have to be. Let's see. 22nd century. 22nd day, 22nd year could happen, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, all, when you get there, you let us know how it was, because Brian will be gone. I'll be gone.
Tell your ancestors.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm fascinated by those things, but I am. Hey, I got some, it's Christmas, right? It's Christmas week and all.
It is. You're right.
Yeah. And one of the deals is you do family things and stuff like that. Well, we were supposed to have on Sunday a great big thing at my sister's house. Mm-hmm. And then on Tuesday, today, tonight, we were supposed to do a big thing at our house. And then we started to think, all this seems weird right now because Omicron is like spreading like wildfire and it's like 70% of cases now. And it's just kind of bad. Why are we doing this to ourselves? In fact, last time we did this in November, it wasn't COVID, but everybody spread around that freaking virus that gave me a sinus infection. So we got to thinking, well, is everybody really cool with this, or is it just us that are concerned? you know?
Are you, but everybody, or no, you've got some members of the family that aren't,
100% vaxxed
or don't believe in.
Yeah. Plus, you know, Omicron seems not give a shit anyway. It seems to spread no matter what you're doing.
Well, it does, but the symptoms are far less.
At least from what data we have. That's the other problem is we know so little and it's moving so fast. So anyway, we're like, are we the only ones concerned about this? Let's find out. We got pregnant people in the family. We got, you know, my mom's 82. She's married to a guy in his 90s. Like, what are we doing here? So we called around, and it turns out they all had the same concerns. So they were all just afraid to say anything about it. And I understand how this goes. It's called the road to Abilene.
I know. Yeah, it's the, you know, why are we going on this trip? I don't know. I thought you wanted to go. I thought you wanted to go.
That whole thing, right? That was definitely in effect here because nobody wanted to say anything or be that one whatever. But we were like, look, maybe this isn't going to work this way. Let's do smaller. Let's go, a couple of us go see mom on Christmas Eve and some of us get together over here and the siblings go visit the other sibling. And, you know, just let's just, you know, lower the risk overall. Instead of this, you know, feel like we got to have 30 people in your house. Like, why are we doing that right now? And they all agreed. So everything got canceled. That's all
cool.
Done.
Well, good. I mean, it's not cool that it got canceled, but I mean, it's cool that you guys all talked about it and figured it out.
Yeah. Sometimes that's all it takes. You just got to say something. Now, I know there are a couple of people within the circles who are like super irritated by this. Whatever, man. Like, be as irritated as you want to be. I personally just don't want to. I don't want to put my mom in the hospital or kill her. I really don't.
Of course.
So, you know, she's got limited years as it is. I would like to have those go as long as possible. And so, no big deal. You know, we're still going to have a lovely Christmas Eve and day with our limited little bubble of people.
Well, I was going to say, even your limited bubble is bigger than the group that I'm having Christmas with on on Saturday. So with your, you know, your kids and their significant others and everything like that, it's still bigger than my group. So
yeah, it's pretty tiny. It's basically our family plus two, really, is all it is. So anyway, just be careful out there. I'm not subscribing any of this to anybody else. You do what you want to do, but it just didn't sit right. Something just felt wrong and off. And I was like, man, I don't want to be those people where we had a little mini spreader event and, you know, the pregnant member of the family she can't even take antibiotics when she's sick. She just has to deal with it. Like, I don't want to put her at risk. And she's already had something. And I don't know why we were thinking that'd be great. So we're not doing that now. Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas.
Amy says they're requiring vaccine cards for their family gathering.
Are you guys really? Like, is someone at the door going, let me see your card? I would love that.
I'm sure it is a matter of, you know, we know that you haven't gotten your vaccine kind of thing.
Yeah. Speaking of which, all it did is hurt my arm, the booster, and it still hurts. Going to kind of lift it to about there. Oh. And then got tired. Other than that,
I think just like last time, I think they gave you the fake vaccine.
Yeah, all three of them, because I really didn't react to anything. And
they gave you they didn't give you the stuff with the actual vaccine in it. They just gave you
I'm in the control booth.
Sugar water.
Yeah, or control booth. But what do they call it? Control group, not booth. It's not
control
there's no
group,
booth.
Yes.
Control group. It does feel that way a little bit. Like, I'm like, is this supposed to be this way? But Kim didn't really either. She kind of just felt tired. Carter had kind of a rough night, but she's younger, whatever. But yeah, it's my card's got writing all over it. There's no room for a fourth booster on my card. No,
I know. Why, you know, again, it just feels like they're doing this wrong. They had enough time to figure out some of this, right? Mm-hmm. Number one, make the card a normal size. Either make it wallet size and have it digitally printed on there somehow. Or you get your temporary paper card and you get your digital card in the mail, or your printed card in the mail.
Or just let's do it as a digital solution of some sort. Put it on the blockchain.
Right, exactly.
Hey, if the blockchain is so great, let's get NFTs of all of our vax cards. How about that?
How about instead of all the effort put into NFTs, we focus on this? How about that?
Yeah, good luck. Good luck. There's a cult going on there.
It reminds me. At some point, I'm supposed to get an NFT for seeing Spider-Man opening night.
Oh.
You can tell how excited I am about that.
What's it supposed to be in the form of? Do you know?
Shape of a pail of water. Form of?
Like, you know, is it like a...
I have no idea. It's supposed to be just a... It's a piece of Spider-Man art that is an NFT, and I don't know anything else about it, and I care so little about it that I don't even want... I'm not even bothering to, like, look it up or find out more specifics.
It also kind of goes against the whole scarcity point by everybody who goes opening night. They're all getting NFTs. Then what's the... There's no scarcity.
Exactly, yes. What's the scarcity? I think there's... yeah, who knows? You know?
Yeah. Let us know when you get it, though. I mean, are you going to get
it? Yeah, I will. I will. I'll be all like, hey, I finally own an NFT.
Sweet. Hang on to that. Big investment.
Yeah.
Gonna be able to break that out in 5 years and retire on it.
And buy a Big Mac.
Exactly. Speaking of food, perfect transition.
Yeah. Oh, look at that.
Yeah. Listen to this.
Take this. It's for you. It's food.
What we got here.
Yes, we do. So, courtesy of Tara in Japan. I want to say she's in Kyoto.
The Isle of Japan.
That's right. She sent us a big box of food, so enough for two of us. I split them up, sent half of it over to you, put in a nice Marvel box for you, because that's what I do.
Loot Crate Marvel box. And my wife thought it was a gift and wrapped it and put it under the tree.
Would have been great. Yeah. Would have been great if... you know, hold on. I want to ask this.
Yeah.
What did she put for to and from on there?
She put on there. Well, she saw it was from you because it had the return address.
Oh, okay. So she said to Scott from Brian. Oh, that was nice.
Yeah. Her thinking was, oh, well, if this is a gift or something, I want him to not get it early. We'll put it under the tree.
Gotcha. Okay.
She had no idea you were sending some supplement or anything.
I totally was expecting, like, oh, no, she put us from her.
Yeah. From Santa. That's what you do.
That's right. All right. Which one are we doing first? We've got two
nondescript
bags of food.
This one I feel like is overtly Asian. They look like stuff I've had before. And not that that's good or bad.
Not quite exactly. Not this particular bag,
right?
Or this particular brand, but these kind of snacks for sure. All right, so I've got my Google Translate at the ready. We'll have some of this, and then we'll
translate right after the fact.
And then we'll translate. Yep.
Okay. Here we go.
Oh, somebody even knows. Look at that.
Oh yeah. Hold on, I can't get mine open. Open, you piece of shit. There we go.
Oh.
Got a little zing on the end.
Got a little zing. Yeah, like a.
Temporary zing.
Temporary sweetness that I was not expecting with this. Like, I've had all this stuff before.
It's almost sour.
Yeah.
Like, sweet and sour at the same time.
Like it's spoiled.
There's a hero on it. There's a superhero on there, everybody.
There is. It's like a super... Not many nuts, man.
Yeah, many
not
nuts,
enough,
man.
Not enough nuts, man, is what these should be called.
Too much kibble, not enough bits, man. What that is.
All right. Sub Supaiman. Oh, it even says really? Supaiman.
Supaiman.
It says this is stop three. No, it says this is don't stop, but it still isn't saying. It keeps changing. Like, you know how Google Translate translates, and then it says pip the seeds, supplementary seed tehu, city seeds. The seeds of the city.
Wow.
Peanuts
of city seeds.
It was like, Google translates the best because it's almost like it's one of us trying to read something that's in really tiny lettering.
Yep.
It's like, peanuts of city seeds. And it like keeps putting up different translations. It's the best.
It's like an old lady trying to read her prescription bottle or something. I kind of like these. The peanuts are very few, though, and I like peanuts, so I wish there were more peanuts. Yeah,
but, exactly.
It's fine. Whoever that hero is, I wish him well in his fight against evil. Okay. Now we got this bag. Gold on top, green, very Christmassy. You know, it's the kind of bag you'd see under a tree or something.
For sure.
Or in somebody's stocking.
And we don't even know, like, there are things in here that are covered with something.
Yeah.
But we don't know what the thing is and what they're covered with.
No, because it's
not
say. Even.
They're also not a. Usually, you get like a little notch. Oh, there's a notch.
Oh, I found a peanut at the bottom that's not covered. Mm-hmm. I think these might be peanuts. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a couple of peanuts floating in here.
Well, I mean the picture of the dude.
Yeah.
Is a really poorly drawn peanut.
Oh, I missed him entirely. Little pink peanut man.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like him. He looks like a French director or something. Look at this guy.
Looks like a penis wearing a net.
Yeah.
His pants.
Net penis. Hello, I'm Net Penis. Enjoy these snacks. Okay.
So. I'm trying not to tear. I don't want to tear off too much of the bag because I want to have it for translating. But yeah. At least trying to tear off the parts that have words. Okay. I was afraid of words, Roxanne.
Yeah, it was words.
All right. All right. Here we go.
Here we go.
Pop up one of these guys.
They're kind of moist.
Oh. Really?
Yeah, it's a little, not wet, but like mushy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're not crispy peanuts, yeah.
Mm-mm. What is the, I don't know
okay.
what.
Okay, it's sweet.
So this is like, these are like the sugary peanuts you get here, just taste a little different.
Kind of like beer nuts.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But not as crispy as beer nuts. Yeah. All right.
A little sweeter than beer nuts, too, but. Okay.
It's translating. It's translating.
I'll give that one a thumbs slightly up.
IE Foods right. Company Limited. How about here? F. Papuyu. Tabuyu. Yura Tabu Tabu. Marahana.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Nailed it.
How about this? Translate that, Google.
Yeah. What do they say?
Nothing. I'm getting
not much that. Of a translator app, is it?
Like it's basically trying to translate all the different cloud making conclusion.
Oh, that's what I'm tasting. Yeah.
Yes, you're tasting some cloud making conclusion. Is
yeah,
what you're
I was wondering. I knew it was conclusion, wasn't sure about cloud making, but now I know.
Yeah. You know, now that you say it, I can really taste the conclusion.
Yeah, the conclusion is it's there. All right, well, that's the two for today. Yeah. We're going to do more of these tomorrow. Thanks again to her, because this is awesome.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, big old bag of goodness. There's a couple in here I've got concerns about. Like, there's one with a fiery pig on it.
Yeah, you know, I'm more excited about the angry pig than I am the squids. I don't know what it is. I love calamari, but dried squid is a you thing and not a me thing.
I do like dried squid. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's because when I was a young boy, the Koreans in my house would always get that stuff, and I loved it. So I assume
when
these are
I was a young warthog.
So these are some kind of tiny little pig hot things, pork, dried pork things. We'll try
and
those.
We got two, and we got a big bag and a small bag of those.
Yeah. And we're going to try them all because we haven't done a foodie segment in a long time on the show. So why not?
We also have a crap ton of Kit Kats.
That's right.
To balance it out.
That's right. To make everything right again. To bring balance to the force.
All right.
All right, you guys. Well done. We had some food. Yeah. We did some things. And now we do the news.
Thank you, Tara.
Let's do a little news brought to you by...
Brought to you by Nathan Lott, a patron of TMS, who says... I have a YouTube channel where I review and cover iOS and Mac apps. YouTube.com/NathanLott, L-O-T-T, as well as a little podcast called Nathan Lott's Apple Thoughts at NLAT.me. That's NLAT.me for Nathan Lott's Apple Thoughts.
That's a nice short ME address. I like it.
It is a great, yeah, well done.
Let's hear the first part of one of his shows. Let's just play a little.
Okay.
Right here on the page. Let's see.
Hello, this is Nathan Lott, and welcome to episode number 44 of Nathan Lott's Apple Thoughts.
I love how that rolls. Nathan Lott's Apple Thoughts.
Nathan Lott's Apple Thoughts. Listen, if you can make it past episode 25, that's the cutoff, right?
Yeah, that's when you're not fading.
From podcast movement, it's like 80% of the podcasts out there never make it past episode 25.
That's
so if
right.
you can make it past that, you're doing better than...
And some correction for the chat. I don't think he means thoughts like the kind you're thinking. I don't even know what that means. What is thought? I see it all the time. Like people are always, she's like a thought. What does that even mean? I'm looking that up. Urban Dictionary. Here we go, Brian. This might be terrible.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Thought.
That hoe over there is a thought.
thought. A female that uses her body in some way to gain attention or some favor from males. Commonly used to describe female streamers on Twitch that use such tactics. Usage case. Mine from the Rising of the Shield hero is a textbook example of a thought, or that Twitch thought is too much. I can't believe how much that thought tricked me. Well, I call bullshit on that. That's horseshit. You know what? I'm sorry, but there are whatever. There are dudes on Twitch who want to look, who are doing the exact same whatever claim that is. This is just a normal human thing. You want to look good on camera. Freaking internet. The internet always lets me down.
Aww.
All right. Brian, news time. Here we go. We got this from Jamie, our good buddy, TMS Mashups. Jamie, who is dutifully assembling the Brian Ibbett Best of Year compilation.
It's a lot more work than it is you, right? Because there's a lot fewer things for me for Best of than you, there are for you.
You embarrass yourself a lot less than I embarrass myself.
I know. Yeah, actually, yeah, that's...
Brian says smart things. I say things that incriminate me.
Well, you know, I'll say stuff that I think is right, and I'll stand right behind it until somebody says, no, Brian, it's da-da-da. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's totally correct.
Figured. My guess is he has a treasure trove, and we have just forgotten. So we'll see what happens.
I can't wait to hear it.
It'll be tomorrow. So he sent this story in. Florida man kicked off a flight after trying to wear a woman's pair of underwear as a mask.
Okay.
He thought he'd get away with it. Now, my buddy Andrew did this in a Walmart. Sorry, Costco. Not underwear, but with a Jimmy John's, you know, the bag they give you with your sandwiches in it.
Yeah.
He had, it's like a little ring, you know, plastic thing. He fashioned it around his face because he forgot his mask. This was early in the pandemic and Costco was really clamping down. So he walked through Costco with that freaking Jimmy John's bag on his face. And he never got in trouble, never got caught doing it. I think underwear may have been a little more obvious. But anyway, this guy's wearing like full on red panties on his face.
Oh, geez, Louise. Oh, is there a photo? Do I even want to see the photo?
I think you might.
Is he just trying to be that guy, or did he really not have, oh good Lord.
I think he's trying to be that guy.
Yeah, I think he's trying to be that guy. I don't think I didn't have anything, and so I just borrowed one of my wife's underwear or whatever.
Yeah, made some bullcrap story.
There's no chance this guy has a girlfriend or wife.
Or anyone who cares about him. Here he is, you guys. That's him with his dainty little thong on his face. It was taken by another passenger, the video was, at the Fort Lauderdale flight. They showed Adam Jenny in an airplane seat with a thong stretched over his face, telling airline attendants that it counted as a mask before they escorted him off the plane. The customer clearly wasn't compliant with the federal mask mandate, and we appreciate that our team addressed the issue on the ground prior to takeoff, avoiding a potential disruption in the air. Well, I agree. That's good that you did it before.
Yeah.
He claims that he wanted to highlight how he doesn't think it makes sense to make customers wear a mask until cruising altitude and then let them unmask and eat and drink. Well, I don't know about him, Brian, but I'm not about to pay for a flight to a place I have to go just so I can make an effing point in a thing about underwear or whatever bullshit you want to put on your face. Also, he has a terrible haircut and he deserves what he's getting.
He does. Oh, so the video's been going. Apparently another passenger said, well, if you're kicking him off, then I'm getting off too.
Great. Get out. Go.
Yeah.
Go ahead then.
Yeah.
You bunch of
totally
babies.
Fine.
You're
exactly.
Babies. You're just freaking babies.
Guess what? When the plane takes off and you're sitting in the airport saying, I sure feel good about my decision to now have to buy another plane ticket to go where I was planning on going.
Yeah. This is going to ruffle some feathers.
Delta, you'll really miss my money.
Yeah. This is going to ruffle some feathers, but here's my take on this. People who do this sort of thing, you deserve the ridicule. Sorry, you just do.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit what your reasons are or any of that. You're just quit being such a baby. Like, just you're a giant baby. Now, it is 100% you're right to do this and then it's their right to kick you off. So done. Yeah. You're done. They kick you off the plane. Did you make your point? This wasn't the government. This isn't some censorship moment in your life where
we're not throwing tea into Boston Harbor to protest the taxes. We are, not we. And by we, I mean these idiots.
Yeah.
They're bitching because they don't get their way.
Yeah.
Like now, sad little babies.
Like they're babies. You're being babies.
Sad little babies.
Such babies, dude. I don't have any, and there's nobody, I'm going to get emails and that's fine. And you're going to go, I see you don't have much tolerance for other people's points of view. No, I don't have tolerance for man babies.
Yeah. Well, I don't have tolerance for people who agree to a plane ticket to follow the rules of that aircraft.
Yeah, the airline has the rules. You live by the rules.
They don't want to.
Yeah, it's like saying, I'm not wearing my seatbelt. Same deal. I want to have I want to have the door open for the whole flight. No, you can't. We're up at 30,000 feet. Well, that's my right to have the door open. No, you get off the plane.
Can't believe we don't have the freedom to drink and drive.
Am I not allowed to stuff an entire horse carcass in the plane's toilet? That's I've gone too far. But that's the point. You see what I'm saying? Like, you know, listen, you know, sir, it's the airline. They get to tell you what to do.
Down there, sir, you're welcome to do it.
They get to tell you what to do. That's how it works. If Brian was riding Lyft still and he was driving and a guy came in and said, thanks for the pickup. And you say, sure, no problem. Have some water. And the guy goes, I'm just going to take a shit back here. You're going to go, no.
Oh, you're going to say, that you're going to say, well, I'm not going to wear my mask because I'm an American. I have the right not to. I'm
no,
say,
but
okay,
to me,
well,
it's just as bad.
Hop on out and call another Lyft.
It's just the same to me, though. Like if he takes a shit in the back of the thing, he's well, that's my right. No, it isn't.
Because when you sign up for Lyft, you don't sign a piece of, you don't sign anything that says I won't take a shit in the back of a Lyft.
Yeah. But said that would be their argument. You would be fully in your, you'd be fully in your rights to kick that dude out of your car is the point. Just like the airplane line can. So these people can eat a turd for real.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Right. Send your emails. We'll take them. We'll read them. And we will say, yeah, you don't have a valid point.
Yeah. Because where is the point? There is no valid point.
Exactly. Exactly.
And, you can't be. Here's the other thing I want to make really clear, because I am this guy. I am pro free market. Have been my whole life. Always will be. Big time pro free market. You cannot be that guy. And then also be guy who says, I'm being repressed by an airline. No, this is free market stuff happening, dumbass. Get out. Get off the plane. All right.
You're welcome to ride on the outside of the plane, sir.
Yeah, on the wing with that goblin that Shatner keeps freaking out about. All right, let's get moving here to this story. How about this one? This is great. A groom stepped out to enjoy some fresh air and got robbed during his wedding reception. Aww.
Oh, no. Oh, that sucks.
This groom went outside to get some fresh air. He got robbed immediately. Philadelphia police are searching for two men after he allegedly robbed a groom of his Rolex watch during his wedding reception Saturday evening. This happened at about 11:45 p.m. at this place downtown. The suspect then fled northbound on 3rd Street in their vehicle. There were no injuries. He just gave him the watch, which is what you're supposed to do. Authorities said that there were a series of thefts in upscale neighborhoods, including the one in this where this groom was at and where he was involved. Thieves have been on the lookout for opportunities to take advantage of innocent people, whether they are alone or in a group. City's recent crime reports have gotten global attention. So far in 2021, Philadelphia Police Department has reported 521 homicides, a 13% rise over 2020. That's a pretty big bump.
Philly, what's going on?
Yeah, that's a lot.
Where's the brotherly love?
Yeah, where is it? Brotherly love, big shoulders. Nope, that's Chicago. Who's the big shoulders? Chicago. No.
Chicago? I can't remember.
City of
I know
big
Philadelphia
shoulders.
City of brotherly love, but.
Shoulders. I'm going to find out so I don't screw this up. Oh, it is Chicago. All right.
Okay, there you go.
Because it's also the Windy
broad,
City.
Broad shoulders.
The broad shoulders. Sorry, you're right. Not big, big shoulders.
Check out that broad shoulders.
Wait, all of this says big shoulders.
Oh, really? The thing that I said that when I did Big Shoulders, they said Chicago, the city of broad shoulders. But
oh, well, now I'm more confused. But the bottom line is they are also the Windy City. They're also the shit. What's the other one they go by?
Oh, yeah. So this is right. The fifth line of Carl Sandburg's poem Chicago says Big Shoulders. And then they say also sometimes the city of broad shoulders. There
oh,
you go.
Well, I like broad better than big. Big implies a medical condition.
Big broad city of big broad shoulders.
We'll just leave that one right there. home of police rough rides. What does that mean? Is that the rough rides tally? I don't know what that means. All right, here's your next story. But the bottom line is stop with the criming. Okay, I don't know what's going on there.
No
but,
kidding. Well, what a bummer though. Like. Hey, I'm going to step out for a second, maybe get a smoke, and groom comes back in. I just got robbed on my wedding night.
Yeah, that would suck. Although you'll always have the story, right? Like, you'll always be able
to
tell
the
story.
Yeah, that's true.
There's something about that that's okay.
I mean, I guess then, you know, it's a Rolex. Rolex can be replaced. It's better than what could have happened.
Oh, Tally says Chicago police would intentionally drive detainees over rough roads that it hurt them and it actually killed somebody. Is that true? Jeez. That's not cool. Don't do that. That seems mean. All right. Nobody likes a rough ride. Moving on to this story.
Hello.
Hello. Let's see. Takeaway forced to refund customer. So a takeaway meaning, you know, we call it takeout.
Takeout. Yep.
Yeah, the British are weird.
I'm going to get some Chinese takeaway.
Yep, it's all takeaway there. I kind of like it. Except then too. You couldn't say, some well, what's takeaway. The big what's the big takeaway? And people would go, Chinese food?
That's true. Yeah, well, they must have a different way of saying, like in a meeting, well, what do we need to get from this?
Yeah.
What's the takeaway?
Yeah, what's your big takeaway?
We're three quarters of the way through the new season of Succession. I think we just got a couple episodes left. And man, that show just, you know, aside from the fantastic acting and the scarce number of characters that you kind of like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Greg and everybody else. I just like, you know, watching them be jerks to each other. But it gives me PTSD from being in the business world.
Oh, man.
Whole, like, yeah, we need to get this IPO signed. Oh, man, we got to go to this trade show and do this thing. And it's like, oh, man.
I hate all that stuff so much.
Yeah.
There's a reason Brian and I are independent creators, because that life was not for us.
Roman Pa says even Greg is a sucky person.
So hold on. He's Greg? Remind me, Greg?
Greg is the cousin who in the first episode is working as a mascot in an amusement park and pukes in his... Yeah. He's okay. he's the doofus, the awkward, lovable doofus. But I mean, I guess he is kind of a.
I mean, earlier in the show, it always felt like this show was going to be mostly about him breaking into this big corporate thing, and then it kind of turned from that. It's not that.
Yeah, exactly. This season's great, though. My God, it's such a great season.
I've been hearing good things. Yeah. I need to.
Here's
catch
my impersonation
up.
Of Kendall. We good? We good? Can we go? We good?
We good? He just wants to get
that's
out
Kendall.
All the time.
That's Kendall right there. We good?
Wait,
we good?
The, is that the Culkin kid? Kieran Culkin? Is that who that is?
No, that's the guy with the short hair. The kind of the... I think he's the oldest brother. Oh, no, he's not. The oldest brother is Alan Ruck.
Alan Ruck, yeah.
He's the...
Cameron.
Yeah. how do you describe Kendall? He's the guy who's not... Alan Ruck or Kieran Culkin.
So he's the main guy, the main son.
The main guy, the main son, yes.
Okay. All right, yeah.
The son who's currently butting heads with ba-da-ba-ba-ba. You know, as I'm watching this, I do want Brian Cox at some point to go, Kendall, you get out of this office. You're a effing disgrace. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I'm loving it. Wait, that's
because he does the current McDonald's commercials.
Oh,
he's
right.
The voice of the current, and he never says I'm loving it. He just goes ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
He's also a striker. He could do some anti-mutant stuff if he wanted to, right?
He could. Yeah, just rip the metal right out of the adamantium, right out of Wolverine's bones.
Yeah, I think that was two, right? Two. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it was the good one.
The good one, right.
The good one.
I like the first one okay. I really like the second one. Mm-hmm. Third one was abysmal.
It was.
And then from there, it's first class and then everything else.
First class was great.
Yeah.
And even Days of Future Past was pretty good. But boy, everything since. Apocalypse, Dark Phoenix.
Yeah. I feel like they're giving this a little bit of stew space for Disney to reboot it all.
Oh, did you see, you know what though? Did you see New Mutants?
No, how was that?
That's good. That's worth seeing. It's not as good as First Class, but it's better than everything that's come since First Class.
What about that one that was in perpetuity production and then finally came out and then it was like
Gambit?
A horror No, like a horror movie thing. What was that called?
That's New Mutants.
That's New Mutants?
Yeah, that's the horror mutants one with Sunspot and Cannonball and Anya Taylor-Joy as Ilyana Rasputin.
Ah, the Vavitch. Yeah, yeah.
The Vavitch.
Did you see that trailer yesterday that got launched for the Norse-looking thing that's directed by the Vavitch director Lighthouse director? Yeah.
The
Plus, he's got all those people in there. It looks... It's got her in it again because I think she just likes working with him, but it looks great. Like,
cool.
Cool. It's probably really bloody and brutal, but it looked freaking awesome.
No, I did see a cool trailer for something coming to the Roku channel, which I guess is a thing. I didn't know that was there was an actual Roku channel. But it is a 10-part history of comic books done by the Russo brothers. with Marvel and DC. Like, it is, this thing looks amazing.
I'm down with that. When's that happening? Yeah. I don't, where do you get that? Only on a Roku or?
That's the thing. I mean, do you have to have a, maybe somebody can answer this one. Roku channel. Do you have to have a Roku to watch the Roku channel?
I'm going to see if there's an Xbox app because that's what I'm connected to right now. There you go. Let's see. Roku channel on Xbox. Okay.
Available on most devices, Pops and Recline says. Okay, so I could probably put a Roku app on my Apple TV and watch it there.
Okay, so they're doing it like Apple does with the Apple channel. I can play anywhere else too. Apple TV All right, Plus. Good. Okay, cool. I'm in.
Looks so good. Yeah. I don't know when it starts. Starts in like within the next couple weeks.
Let's see. Looks really good. I'm just looking for
it. Can't remember what it was called though.
I'm into that. Also, the Russo brothers are perfect for that. That's great.
Yeah.
Marvel stuff, or sorry, DC stuff as well. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it's Marvel and DC.
Cool. All right. Well, now you've got me. I'm going to go download this later. I didn't even know this existed. Boy, that's not good PR. I should have known about the Roku channel before now. Right? I'm looking at their content. They have a ton on here.
Yeah. Oh, do they really?
Yeah, movies. Oh, look, Jingle All the Way just got added.
Wow, amazing.
All the diehards, Hunt for Red October.
Is there a streaming service now that doesn't have the Roku channel?
Let's see, the new Dexter thing they have for free right now?
Oh.
Yellow Jackets for free.
Edward Scissorhands.
Freaking Roku, man. I didn't know. Grumpy Old Men and Grumpier Old Men is on here. Popular on the Roku channel. All right. Shows what I know.
I wonder if the Roku channel is just also amalgamates other, like you buy other channels through it. Because I'm seeing Dexter on there, for example, the new Dexter New Blood thing.
Yeah.
And I know you're not getting that for free without some sort of Showtime.
Oh, so it claims it's catch it while it's still free, it says.
Yeah.
But I don't know what that means. That could mean a lot of things.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Well, moving on.
Yeah. Episode one you get for free.
Oh, Roku bought Quibi. That makes sense because Quibi had all kinds of content, but they just... Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, cool. The IMDb channel, someone else mentioned in there, isn't bad. It's a great have it on in the background thing because it's commercial supported, but you just find like an old show you like or a movie that's just passable and you're just like, oh, let's put that on, have it go. Commercials aren't too egregious. It's not bad. But a lot of ads, though, so... You get what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Right. Takeaway. Oh, I forgot to tell you about the story here. So here's the deal.
Oh, yeah. We got caught up on Takeaway. Wow.
How did we do that? How did it go? I don't know how we got there.
You're talking about Chinese food and what do they say in business for Takeaway? And then I went into Succession and.
Yeah, I don't either. JC Calhoun says, I don't get why Amazon has Prime and the IMDb channel. Prime is their premium channel. IMDb is free to everybody. So that's why. It's a hooky end deal.
Wouldn't it be great if the IMDb channel is just, hey, this guy, he was in this movie and this movie and this movie and this movie.
Yeah.
This woman was in this movie and this TV show for four episodes and this movie.
Like VH1's pop-up video or whatever. Just like a little bloop. He also appeared in... 10 other things or whatever.
Sidian has our breadcrumbs. Takeaway, Chinese food. Succession, Brian Cox. X-Men, Norris, Roku, roughly now.
Okay. Dude, Sidian, that's a public service you just did.
That, it really is. I love the breadcrumbs. Oh my God.
That's really great. All right, well then back to the story.
Between X-Men and Norris, we need Anya Taylor-Joy too. Yeah,
that's really good. She was the connection there. Yeah, she's your big connection. All right, here's your actual story. All right. The people complained and they had to refund them. The people complained that their ice cream was cold. Yeah, I know, right? That's so dumb. They said it was, Takeaway boss said he's been forced to stop offering deliveries of Just Eat after a new scam emerged on the platform, which one of his customers refunded because they complained their ice cream was cold.
So Just Eat is the Grubhub of the UK.
Yeah, it sounds like it's like Uber Eats or Deliveroo or whatever. Yeah, they have some of the same stuff over there, but I think they have their own thing. Yeah. Anyway, there was a spate of these suspicious refunds on the site. They tried to figure out what happened. It cost this guy several hundred pounds each month.
Oh.
It turns out people are saying my ice cream was cold, and then they get refunds.
That I think sucks. They just go in there and say this was cold, and the app automatically refunds them and then bills the...
Yes.
The restaurant.
That's a problem because A,
yes,
ice cream's supposed to be cold.
Yeah. My gazpacho was cold. Yeah. It was delivered cold.
I don't understand why my burrito was hot. What happened? but yeah, that kind of automation can bite you right in the chode, and they should fix that. So they said here, say they ordered 4 milkshakes, a cheesecake rather, and an ice cream. And 45 minutes later, they put in a refund request because the food was too cold.
Those people need to be found and restricted from ever. I'd say just take their phones away.
Take away their phones.
Not too much.
Yeah. Make them wear used underwear on their face and put them on a flight to Florida. Do that.
That's right. Make them watch all the X-Men movies that were bad. There we go. We've brought it all back around.
Well done. There was some hesitation in the chat about whether we want more Norse films. I'm telling you, that director, he could make anything, and I would go, oh, what's he doing over there? What's he making? Because the Vavitch and the Lighthouse are incredible movies.
Yeah.
And are very unique, and I just want to see what his take is. Because now you got that big Skarsgård brother playing the main Norse man. And what's it called? Northman, I think it's called.
Northman?
Okay. You should see him, Brian. He's always kind of ripped and big, but the older Skarsgård brother from like True Blood, that guy, just shredded. Looking like he is about to put 3 axes in your face. Just looking great.
I've got the trailer coming up here. Nicole Kidman, Charles Bang, Anya Taylor-Joy, and all the other names went by too fast for me to get them.
I know there's a lot, but I can't wait. I'm very excited. All right. Oh, it's even got your Green Goblin back because he works with him. It sounds like he liked working with him on the Lighthouse, so he's back. Plays some sort of weird. Oh, and Bjork's in it.
Bjork's in it.
she plays one of those blue-faced, like, what were they? The weird religious type.
Loki's dad's the ice.
What are they called? I can't think straight since I got my booster. Can't think of names.
Frost Giants. Thank you, Icor. Could not come up with freaking Frost Giants.
Kind of like that, except she's just a shaman type. You know?
Oh, okay.
Because this doesn't look...
Look at her. Yeah, no kidding with the things over her eyes.
Yeah. None of it looks like it's supernatural.
I don't have sound on, but I imagine she's going, I'm going to cast a spell on you, and it is going to turn you into a tree.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is... it's what's his name? I'm not going to get anybody's names. What's wrong with me? You sound like Adam Sandler doing an impression of Bjork is what I heard there. Bjork Sandler. All right, final story. Yeah. Everyone likes monkeys, everyone likes dogs, but oftentimes they don't get along, and this story's all about that. A troop of monkeys, which is what you call a group of monkeys, not a herd, not a group, whatever.
Sure.
Troop.
Mm-hmm. F-troop of monkeys.
F-troop of monkeys. Has killed up to 250 dogs. And what this is calling revenge attacks, including throwing them off tall buildings, according to Indian sources.
Wow. Yeah.
Imagine a bunch of monkeys taking a dog up a building and then hucking it off the thing. Jeez, monkeys. What is up, dude? They are savage. Troop of monkeys, Indian town, have killed up to 250 dogs. It says here locals in Lavul, a 500 or 5,000 person town. Wouldn't you just say... A population of 5,000?
Yeah.
This is translated.
Yeah. Population 5,000.
Yeah. A 5,000 person town.
really, what I want to know is how many monkey town?
Like, yeah.
Give me the monkey number.
Yeah, give me the monkey numbers. This is about 300 miles east of Mumbai. They told News 18 that the monkeys began to take revenge last month after a pack of dogs killed an infant monkey. So the dogs started it.
Wow.
By chewing up this baby monkey.
And then the monkeys gathered together and said, they're taking one of ours. You put two of them on off a building.
You put one of them in the morgue. You take one of them to the hospital or whatever he says.
Exactly.
Let's see. Locals. No, here we go. Since then, residents told the media outlet the monkeys have been snatching up dogs as soon as they spot them, dragging them to the top of trees and tall buildings, and then hucking them off.
Wow.
The monkeys then throw the dogs off great heights, per News 18. They let the dogs plummet to their deaths. Well, once you throw them off, what are you going to do? You don't let them. They just, now it's done. The deed is done. The monkey can intervene.
I'm going to go ahead and let you die.
Yeah. Now that you've fallen 50 feet from me and I can't do anything about it.
But we all know Beyonce had the best video this year.
Nice. Very nice. The media outlet said that nearly every dog in the town has been killed in the primate purge. I do like that term. That's pretty good.
Primate purge.
Although that would imply the purge was primates, right? If you say primate purge.
The primates are purging. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, you're purging primates.
Yeah, because it should be a dog purge is what you'd say.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Newsweek reported the officials from local forest departments were called to help capture the vengeful monkeys, but could not entrap a single one of them. Villagers then tried to catch the monkeys, but several of them became injured in the process, the people, not the monkeys. Now, the monkeys are now targeting small children, creating a panic in Laval, says News 18. Yeah. So these monkeys, they need to be stopped, man.
Yeah.
Panic on the streets of Laval. Catch the monkey, catch the monkey, catch the monkey.
anybody check on him lately? How's he doing?
How's Morrissey doing? Is he all right?
Is he okay? I don't know. I mean, he was in trouble for something a while back, saying something dumb, and then I just haven't heard. Let's see, Morrissey. Let's get the latest on Morrissey. Here we
go. What's Morrissey doing? You know he's got emo.
Let's see. Joe, these are all different people with the last name Morrissey. Nope, no news about Morrissey.
Okay, good.
There's a picture of a coffin. Hold on. Oh, Marty Morrissey died, whoever that is.
Oh, Marty Morrissey.
That's a bummer.
Marty!
It was the monkeys.
It was the monkeys, Marty.
All right. That is going
to take my plutonium.
Let me ask you this. If you watched a monkey run up and grab one of your dogs and then peel out of the house with it and throw it into traffic or something, what would you actually do as a person watching that? What would you do?
I mean, I'd run after it. But I mean, he probably would just go to the closest tree.
Yeah.
Wouldn't even like go running down the street looking for a building. He'd probably just go to the closest tall tree, run up and.
Do you think if he got up in that tree, he would like hold it and go like.
I don't think he'd wait. I don't think it's like a come any closer and I'm dropping the dog.
Yeah. That's not a picture for some reason. I don't know why.
I'd get to the bottom of the tree and catch Daisy before she landed.
Oh, see, that's good. Yeah. You should do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I saw a monkey stealing a baby.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what I would do.
You'd go after the monkey.
Yes, I'd go after the monkey.
Of course you would. Anybody would.
Yeah, and even if you had a gun, you couldn't shoot the monkey because you might shoot the baby.
Right. That's what you're counting on.
So I don't know. I'm just saying I hope we never have to face this. This seems really hard. You know?
It does.
Maybe it's like the dingo ate your baby kind of deal, except worse.
That's why we should have big dogs and small monkeys. That's the whole reason right there. That's why we need more big dogs and more small monkeys.
Well, the monkeys that really scare me are the ones that are always on display for tourists in Japan and that Monkey Island place everyone goes to.
Oh, those,
They're brutal,
the ones that sit in hot tubs with the icicles forming on there.
Oh, I don't know if those are it or not. Maybe those are it. Not Macau. What are they called?
Anyway.
Might be, but the ones that like rip people's things out of their hands and like run off with their purses and stuff, little pieces of shit dick monkeys. I hate those things.
Yeah,
there's a reason. I don't know what those are called.
By the way, Hit Monkey pops and recline reminds me of. Did I recommend Hit Monkey? I don't think I did.
No, I want it. Is it good?
It's good. I might have to throw that in my recommendal slot tomorrow. I can't believe I forgot to recommendal that.
Claire, very sensitive to this monkey issue on the chat there. She wants to.
They've been put there.
Yeah, she's got all kinds of feelings about the monkeys in Japan. All right.
I think they are macaques.
Macaques. What you got there, buddy? It's nothing but me cock. Like that? No?
Well, you changed it to me cock, which.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Bobby will be joining us. No Bill today. He's on a little trip with his family doing Christmas things, and so he will not be around. Hopefully he doesn't have to have dinner with Uncle Omicron. That would be nice if he didn't. But in the meantime, Bobby will be here. We're going to have some science time with him. Yeah. And that'll happen shortly after this song break. Brian will now present.
Yeah, well, this one comes from a listener, Lori Crispin, who sends in a request for, is it brother? Does she say? It's funny. She doesn't say how she's related, but they both have the same last name, Crispin. This is Michael Crispin.
Like Glover, like Crispin Glover punching Letterman or trying to kick him, that kind of thing.
Yeah, trying to kick him, exactly.
Sure.
Michael loves to write, record, and mix music in his Boston area basement studio. And this is great. There are definitely some Peter Gabriel vibes to this thing. And big thanks to Lori for sending it along. The song is called Why Don't You? And then parentheses, I-T-I-G-T-K-Y.
Oh.
It's up to you to figure out what that stands for. Performed by Michael Crispin. Here is Why Don't You? I-T-I-G-T-K-Y.
Here you go, everybody. Enjoy.
We started this segment talking about how to carve a country ham. I thought we'd end by talking about city hams, what I call city hams, these boneless hams. Really a very nice ham. Ham of ham. City ham. They don't have quite as much character, as far as I'm concerned, as a good old country ham. There you have it. On carving ham,
everyone knows about diarrhea.
The Morning Stream. I will feast on your soul.
All right, we're back. That song again was...
That song is Michael Crispin, Why Don't You... And then a bunch of letters that I don't have in front of me anymore, but Why Don't You by Michael Crispin.
Nice. Those letters made it harder. This is how hard
they really did. Yeah. They're not on the actual song file, but they were in the email that got sent along with it. So You just have to listen to the song and figure out what those all stand for.
I got three DMs who I didn't have time to reply to that all asked the same question. I'm going to answer them all at once. So if you're still in the chat, this is the answer. They wanted to know at the beginning of the show who this was. I'll play it again. That is Brian Dunaway calling me on his phone or on my phone not too long ago, a few months ago, and I just forgot to capture it until recently. And so that's what that was. That was Dunaway. I don't know if he...
did not recognize that as Dunaway whatsoever. Holy mackerel.
I agree. It really threw me off. And then don't forget your city hams. All right, let's get in here. Let's get Bobby up in it. Pretty sure I can call
City Ham sounded like Harry Shearer when I heard it.
Oh, yeah, it does a little bit.
We started this segment talking about how to carve a country ham.
A little bit.
Well, he does at the end, I guess, or somewhere between Harry Shearer and that Higgins, what's his
ham
name?
Ham of ham.
Mike
City
Michael
ham.
Higgins Clark or whatever his name. He's also in all those Christopher Guest movies.
Michael Clark Higgins. Michael Cliggins Hark. No.
Michael, maybe it's not Clark. Maybe I'm getting my Clark Duncan into my Higgins.
I almost watched The Green Mile the other night because, you know, no time for Loki or freaking Parasite.
But John Michael Higgins.
John Michael Higgins. There you go.
John Michael Higgins.
All right. Who am I adding? Oh, Bobby. Bobby's on the way.
And Bobby!
He did not forewarn me about topics, which I don't mind. It's fine. I have no idea what we're getting into today, but we're going to find out. As soon as he joins us here, which will happen right freaking now.
Science.
Hey, look who it is. It's Bobby Frankenberger, who joins us all the way from his studios in South Carolina. Bobby, welcome to the show.
In your name, you've got two things that I like at a barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what Frank, could
Franks
they be?
Frankenburgers.
Frankenburgers. Definitely not a Bobby. Mm. I don't know what that would even be.
Franks and Burgers.
Nice to see you. Yeah. You haven't run any other marathons since we last talked, have you, or anything?
I haven't run. I took all this time off, and then I got sick right after the marathon, so I haven't run at all. I'm still a little, like, deep radio
voice. You sound like me.
Now.
Yeah, you sound like I did. All right, how many days into it are you? Hopefully you don't get the full...
I'm almost done with my... being sick. It hit me right after, like 2 days after the marathon. It's almost like a joke, you know, like I didn't get sick during all 30 weeks of training for the marathon at all, and then 2 days after I ran it, I got sick. It was probably from all those people.
Yeah. Well, and your vulnerability was probably down from the exhaustion and all that stuff too, right?
Yeah, that's what Maura, my science co-host, said. That's what she told me. She said, it's not a joke. It's your parasympathetic nervous system, Bobby.
Yeah. No, I've heard this before. Somebody I know is not a marathoner. They call themselves, what are the 100-miler people called?
Ultra runners.
Ultra runners.
Or ultra marathon runners.
Ultra marathon runners. That's it. Used to be a guy who was a neighbor. My daughter babysat for him for their little kids. Anyway, I was always fascinated by this guy because he looked like he just needed a sandwich every minute of the day. He was just so thin and whatever, but it's because he was constantly doing these 100-mile things.
Yeah.
And he was always super sick between runs. He would just, his immune system or whatever, would just like open up and say, all right, everything that's here, just go ahead and get in and let's get it over with before I do this again. And he said, yeah, this happens every time. I'm just sort of used to it now. I just get sick between runs. And I used to think that doesn't sound healthy to me. It seems bad.
I mean, you're going to get sick sometimes.
Yeah, I guess so. Breaking news real quick before we do anything else. I guess there are some reviews for the Matrix up. The new Matrix. This is important data because it's this week. The Matrix Resurrections currently enjoying a 67% on Rotten Tomatoes with a total of 69 reviews. Nice. no audience score, obviously, because nobody's gone to see it yet. But that's not bad. It's all right.
It's not bad. Yeah. It's not as good as I was hoping from the headline that I saw this morning. It said, Matrix Resurrections is the sequel you need.
Oh.
Or the sequel you were hoping for.
All right. Well, I'm in.
Wow. So what's the cutoff for you then? When do you start thinking a Rotten Tomatoes review or a percentage is not good?
Well, I've yet to see anything on Rotten Tomatoes where it was lower than 50 and then me thinking, no, that was great. I can't believe that was reviewed so bad. That's never happened. I almost always land somewhere in the averages. So right. I'd say 50 probably. Mm-hmm.
Because it depends on what it is. If it's if it's part of a franchise that I really care about and that I want to see, it doesn't matter what the Rotten Tomatoes score is.
Right, you're going to see it anyway.
Probably see it.
Yeah, I'm going to like Eternals more than Rotten Tomatoes did. I'm sure of it.
Right. Because that's just like, they're just voting up or down, right? So 67% is 67% of people liked it, right?
Well, reviewers, yeah. They don't have the audience score in here yet, but the big takeaway from this is, anything 60 and higher is considered fresh, meaning good. Anything lower than 60 by their metric is considered rotten.
Okay.
So if something's in the 30s.
I never thought about that, but you're right. Yeah, it's either a thumbs up or thumbs down, and it's 67% gave it a thumbs up, as opposed to, well, this person rated it a 92 and this person rated it a 14. So we're averaging, as you're saying.
Yeah. Okay. Like in theaters right now, where's Spider-Man? Hold on.
Well, it's good to calibrate that every once in a while and know that, because you get so used to, like, all the Marvel movies ended up having such high percentages. I feel like I hear 67% and I'm like, well, that's shite, you know, like,
yeah, right.
Cause you're thinking of it like your grades or something, you know, like, it's 67. Exactly. I barely passed, that sort of thing. But, and obviously they all want higher numbers cause they all tout it all the time. But, in theaters right now, let's see, Spider-Man is currently enjoying a lovely, where is it? Spider-Man. Here we go. 94% reviewers and 99% audience. Mm. That's really strong. Encanto doing well at 90. West Side Story at 92. I mean, everybody wants those numbers.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think if you're in genre film, you're probably pretty happy between 65 and 100. You'd be real happy to find yourself there. So the fact that all this Marvel shit ends up so high is actually kind of an anomaly, I think, but...
And I will back that up and say that No Way Home is absolutely the best live-action Spider-Man movie out there, and I'm still undecided on if I think it's where it ranks compared to Into the Spider-Verse. Because
I loved Spider-Verse.
I love that thing so much.
That's a hard call. They can both sit in the same. They can share a seat. That's fine.
They can share the top. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. All right. Well,
I'm not saying anything, Claire. Settle down.
Oh, look at her. No. Yeah, we're not going to spoil it. We already promised. Brian promised. He keeps his promise.
Listen. Tom Holland got on a YouTube video and told me not to be that guy that spoils anything in No Way Home, and I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to let weirdly British voice Tom Holland, I'm not going to let him down.
It's also a really important point to make here. Here's your spoiler, and this is as far as it goes. Tom Holland is shorter than his girlfriend Zendaya. There, I spoiled it. He's shorter than her, but you can't tell in the movie because they get him on platforms.
I saw your tweet. I saw your photo.
He's a little tiny man compared to her. She's all like up here and he's like down here, and it's fine. It's just, you know, it's just interesting. Yeah. That's all. She's having a good year. All right. Hey, let's get to some science. Bobby, you got anything that's just going to blow our socks off and make us all wonder how we didn't know it before or what? What's going on?
Maybe I have something that I think is super interesting, and it has to do with what our goal is on our podcast as science communicators and everything. So one of the goals of science communication is to, spread scientific information and also foster a general interest in science and to get people liking science and trusting and scientific stuff and spread that information, right? But there was a study that came out just recently that showed that people who tend to trust science more are more likely to believe in and spread pseudoscientific information.
Oh, well, that is an anomaly. Didn't expect that.
Yeah, you would think it'd be the opposite. Interesting.
Yeah, wow. that's why I find it really, really interesting that a trust in science actually makes you more likely to spread false pseudoscientific information.
Do you think that's because people have their whatever narrative they have, right? And so let's say your narrative is, I don't know. Like, I'll give you an example. When I was growing up, my dad had a period of time where he was solving everything with self-hypnosis. Now, I don't know much about self-hypnosis, except he would go off in a corner and tell everyone to stay away for a minute and make things quiet. And he had a little string with a little thing hanging off of it. And he would hold it on his finger and he would, like, meditate and concentrate on that thing. And it would be for things like, I can't find my keys. This is crazy, but this is what happened. He'd sit down and say, I can't find my keys. And he would keep saying to this crystal or to this string, tell my subconscious where, or, you know, tap into my subconscious and tell me where I left my keys. And it would kind of repeat this as like almost like a mantra while he's looking at this thing. And eventually it would swing. So he would do things like in his head say, is it in the house? And if it swung back and forth slowly, that meant no. If he said, is it in the car, or is it somewhere between the car and the house? Like maybe I put it down somewhere in the garage. And if it was yes, it would do a little counterclockwise circle motion.
Really?
And then he would go look, and he would quite often find it. I can't remember if it had worked every time, but we were all just like, whoa, it's all like magic. Dad knows magic kind of stuff. And it worked for him, and he liked it, and he raved about it, and he thought it was really cool. Now, if that's your narrative, right? If if you come out of that going, well, 100% on board because I saw it work. I saw hypnosis work and whatever. And you don't really know the science. Then you're going to go too far in some direction when a question comes up in your life that involves hypnosis or anything else where you have a narrative already. That's my guess is what's happening to these people.
And all it has to do is work once and you're going to believe it works every time.
Right, right,
right,
right,
right. There's definitely some confirmation bias going on there. Right. And it's that's called dowsing, by the way. That's actually a thing that people do.
Oh, like the dowsing rod when you're trying to find water and that sort of thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of different forms of dowsing, and that's like people use, and it's all based on what's called the ideomotor effect. You can be holding something as still as you think you can, but there's slight movement that your hands are going to have, and then when you see something starting to move slightly, you sort of want maybe it to go a certain way, so you without realizing you're doing it unconsciously, you can actually make it move away.
Like a Ouija board, right? Same idea.
Yes, the Ouija board is also the ideomotor effect.
Oh, Tally, I thought that. Well, I didn't see your post. Tally actually brought it up in the chat. But the Ouija board seems so much more deliberate. Like, you know, they're spelling whole words and going, A, F, F, B, blah. Like, that seems so much more like fakery to me.
The Ouija board is also really interesting, because when people aren't doing it deliberately but it's still spelling something, there's often multiple people influencing it all at the same time, so that's even more interesting, the psychology and stuff behind it. But you were asking, is that why people who have a trust in science apparently seem to be more likely to spread pseudoscience? But it's actually probably something more related to what Red Fraggle or Amy in the chat said, which is that it has to do with this idea of trust, right? Trust is a funny word, and when you trust in science, that can be a lot more akin to a faith-based a belief. Right. And so people who trust in science might not actually have the critical thinking skills to go along with it. And this is common. It's not a dig on people to say that you don't have the critical thinking skills. I think that we are woefully bad at teaching children critical thinking skills and teaching people critical thinking skills in general. But if you happen to quote unquote trust and have this blind faith in science, but you don't have the critical thinking skills to go along with it, then anything that sounds sciencey, you're going to tend to agree with and believe, right? And then start spreading it. So you become a very easy mark and target for people who are trying to spread misinformation or pseudoscience. And all they need to do is make it sound sciency, and then you're gonna pass it on. And you're the person that all your friends know is the science person who loves science. Hmm. So then they believe you, and it's very insidious. It can be very easy to trick people that way.
So when somebody uses that line, you need to do your research, you know, which just sends my cackles in a hog fight. I don't know what any of that meant. I made those words up just now, but this, you know, sending your cackles in a hog fight, who knows what that means? But the point is, like, I get really irritated by it. And the reason I do is because they're using terms there. When you say do your own research implies that there is a body of work that I can go dig into and get all definitive answers, and there's something wrong with me for just not doing it. You know what I mean?
Right.
I hate it. And it's a weird thing to hide behind, which is, you know, I guess true of anything. If you're science minded, or you're somebody who quote unquote trusts in science, but you're only trusting in the parts you like and letting the parts you don't go, you know, letting those be missed or whatever. It's a little like in a religious sense, like people cherry picking scripture that may or may not contradict itself if they kept reading, or if they didn't cherry pick it from one chapter and then jump to another book where the opposite is said or whatever. There's a lot of contradictions in the Bible, for example. To me, it's not that different. Cherry picking what scientific facts you want to hold to and those that you don't feels like they're all in the same boat. You know, they all ought to get on the same flight and wear panties on their heads at some point.
That's a callback.
That's a callback right there.
Right. Doing your own research, quote unquote, is just, it's dangerous in different ways. If you don't have the critical thinking skills to know, what am I looking at? Is this good information that I'm looking at? Is that bad information? And so reading this has actually made me realize that as a scientific skeptic and a science communicator, I think it's not enough to just talk about the science like I do on coming on here every week and on my show. It's not enough to just tell people about the science. I think it's an important part of what I do that I need to incorporate as best I can critical thinking lessons and teaching people how do you cut through all that stuff and how do you develop that tool set, that critical thinking tool set, in order to guard yourself against all these types of these misinformation campaigns that are sometimes deliberately campaigns.
Yeah. And how do people do that at age, you know, 38, 42, whatever, where they've, you know, the very definition of set in your ways is part of their lifestyle and they're not going to, you know, that's hard. It's really hard. It takes a lot of introspection and self admission and, you know, humbling of your mind and things that people don't do readily.
Yeah. You know? And being a good skeptic, requires that. It's sort of like part of what you have to do is you always need to be questioning yourself and looking at why do I think this and why do I believe the things that I believe. And I come across things all the time that I say as fact. Like, I think that they're just the fact of the matter, but then I have to think, wait a minute, is that something that I was taught to me back when I was 8 years old and didn't know, you know, was not the same person as I am now, and I've just taken it for granted because I've always known it, you know, and is it true or not? So anyway, I thought I'd start by doing a quick critical, like a little lesson on critical thinking right now, give everybody a little tool.
Nice. All right. Free tools, everybody.
And every once in a while, I thought maybe I'd come on the show and we'd do a little critical thinking lesson. I'll come up with a name for it or something, but I don't have one right now.
All right.
Love it.
And this one would be a relatively simple one. It's the idea of correlation versus causation, right?
Oh, yeah. That old chestnut. Okay.
Yeah, and this is a really important lesson. I love it. It's an important lesson because and people have heard this, and I think people think that they understand this, but it's good to sometimes examine examples where correlation and causation are not the same thing, because that's this whole lesson, right? Correlation is just the idea that there's a relationship between two variables. When one changes, another one changes, right? Or when you see two things that, just two things are changing, and they're changing in the same way or changing proportionately at the same time. But that is not the same thing as causation, which is where there's a direct cause and effect relationship between these two things. Because a lot of things can happen at the same time in the same way, but they're not related in any way. They're not causally related.
Sure. Right? All right.
Causation would be something like exercise leading to muscle growth, but correlation is an example. A common example of correlation not equaling causation is, let's say you look at an area and you notice that when people eat more ice cream, ice cream consumption rates increase. Also, people with cases of severe sunburn also increase, right?
Mm. Oh, I see.
You might see that data over time correlates. But would you then say, do you think it's safe to say then that eating ice cream increases your risk of sunburn?
No.
Or maybe there's something else going on.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so what would you say? What is the other thing that's going on?
Because they're out in the sun. It's
people
hot.
Tend to eat ice cream when they're outside, yeah. Summertime.
Yeah.
Right. It's probably more likely that warm, sunny weather causes both of these things to increase, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. It's like one I always think of is like, well, let's use your running thing. Like, you getting a cold after your run, you could very easily say, oh, well, it's because I ran.
Right.
Well, that's a real jump to causation that you probably shouldn't make, because, you know.
That's a great example, because there's a lot of things that could be going on and you don't necessarily always know, but that's what science, that's what the sort of institution or the practice of science does, is it tries to examine these correlations and say what could be other causes, and let's find ways to test those. So maybe it's just that I was around a bunch of other people that were breathing really heavily, spitting all over the ground, and like not wearing masks because they're running, you know, maybe right. That's what it was. Hmm. Maybe it's the other thing that we talked about earlier about
your vulnerability being, yeah. Right.
There's a really interesting one, I think, that is a good example in the medical field that has to do with cancer treatment. Okay.
Okay.
So let's say that you have a population of patients that you're looking at that all have cancer, and you want to see if there's a new if this new treatment that exists is effective at improving cancer outcomes, like increasing survival rates from cancer over a period of time. One way that you look at medical information and treatments for medical things is that you do a randomized controlled trial. You give some people the thing and you give other people a placebo, and then you see what happens. But that's not really, you don't really want to do that with cancer. It's not super ethical because, you know, cancer is often a life-threatening condition. So you want to make sure all those people are getting treated, right?
Right.
So you don't want to, give those a bunch of people with cancer a placebo.
Right.
It's not a great approach. So what they do is they take an epidemiological approach, which is you compare historical data of patients who, you look at some people who have received the new treatment, and then a bunch of people who have not.
Right.
And you compare those two and see the differences. Okay. So let's say that you've done that with this new cancer treatment, and the data shows that the patients who got the new treatment have worse outcomes. They're more likely to die if they've gotten the new treatment. And then you, as a scientist, as a researcher, you have to ask, what does that mean? It's easy to say, okay, that new treatment
must
be causing these. And this is a real example that data does come out that looks like this. And it'd be easy to say, oh, that new treatment is causing these people to live shorter lives, that we have to get rid of this new treatment. It's dangerous. But there could be other causes of the data looking this way. For example, could it mean that the patients who received the new treatment, maybe they have a worse type of cancer? Maybe they've tried other treatments that are more proven and they didn't work. So their cancer is more advanced, it's more severe, it's more treatment resistant, and so they've been given this new, less proven treatment. And so just by that fact, that group of people are just less likely to survive anyway, right? That could be one of the causes. There could be other causes, though. But the point is that these are the types of things that you have to look at. You cannot look at data that is correlating and say that there's a causation situation.
You know what I would F up completely is a test for Tylenol. I think about this sometimes. So when they were deciding what the right doses are for Tylenol treatment and over-the-counter levels of strength and all of that, had I been involved, I would have been this anomaly because it does nothing to me. Like, nothing. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what it is. Headache, fever, all the things you treat with Tylenol, it doesn't do jack for me. But ibuprofen does. Ibuprofen works wonders for me. Like, but it's usually inflammation or some other kind of thing like that. And headaches are often inflammation. So, yeah, sure. But everybody else I know can take Tylenol, does whatever they told him they said it would do. I take an extra strength, 3 can double up, 1,000 milligram, whatever. All I did was piss my liver off. It doesn't do anything. Nothing. So they're always going to have those people, right? No matter what your trial type, whether it's double blind, you know, these guys are on placebos, these guys aren't, or in your case, the other approach for the cancer treatment, somebody like me exists where it's not going to happen either way. There's just no standard template for every human, you know, every single person's body biome is different. So that's the part of science that I trust the most is the part where they acknowledge that and keep chipping away at it. That's the part I have the most faith in. It's not the, well, it must mean that. No, stop. That's the point of science, is it's ever ongoing. And also finding out you were wrong down the line and then readjusting and saying, well, okay, well, then what we've learned now is this. So now we're going this direction. That seems to be based on all the data we have. Oh, we have some new data. Could we got to slightly turn at this? That's science. Not there's one way and one way only, and take your Tylenol like a good boy. It didn't work for me.
I think a lot of people also tend to think that they put too much trust in science, if that makes any sense. Like, a lot of people think that science says this thing, so it must always be true. And then when someone tries to, when the data changes and we change our, then people get upset because they don't know what to believe now. And I think it's important that people understand that like science is not the method of science that we have. It's a very useful tool in figuring out the truth and how things and how the world works, but it's the best tool we have, but it's not a perfect tool. It's always self-correcting. We have to keep re-evaluating things and replicating.
It has to be. Otherwise, that is the entire point of it. And people who think that once they've said a thing, like, you know, I'll take something from the 80s. Eggs are bad for you. Mm-hmm. Okay, if that was the current understanding and that was what all the science was pointing to, okay. But to make that now your canonical law in your head, and then when somebody later says, yeah, it turns out eggs aren't really a problem, this is why we know that now, and based on these studies and tests and this new science that we've created a new method for extracting this data, blah, 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 we now know this about eggs, you know, as an example. People's reaction of, well, then I don't know what to believe anymore. How can I trust science if they're going to... I'm like, no, that's the point, dumbass. That's what I want to say to people. I'm in a mood today, is what I'm saying, Bobby. I'm in a mood. I'm going after
people. Let's end
with
something a little bit more fun. Have you ever heard of this website called Spurious Correlations?
No. No, but that sounds great.
I was going to buy that domain.
I know. It was going to be your podcast. And forget it.
Spurious Correlations.
Just went with Coverville. It's fine.
I put a link to it in the chat. It's if you just Google Spurious Correlations, you'll find it. But it's this website somebody put together that takes a bunch of like census data and all this kind of stuff and just tries to find random correlations between things. And they're really funny things. It's fun exercise in realizing that, okay, just because two things look correlated does not mean they are. Like, one of them is a correlation between the number of people who drowned by falling into a pool correlates with films that Nicolas Cage appeared in.
Those, the two graphs follow each other so closely. That's a great example of this.
Yeah.
I love
or
this.
Or per capita cheese consumption correlates with the number of people who died by becoming tangled in their bed sheets.
Yeah, that's a good one. I also like the divorce rate in Maine. We got any Maine people in our chat? I don't know. But divorce rate in Maine correlates with per capita consumption of margarine. Yeah. Almost exactly. I mean, that thing lines right up, man.
Yeah. Oh, this is great stuff.
This is good. This is good. Yeah. But here's my biggest fear in life. There are people, and I think I know a few of them, who would go to this
look
page
at this and say, "See?"
Yep. Exactly. And that's what stresses me out. It's 'cause some people are missing the irony, are missing the subtlety, are missing the whatever, and that's the era we live in now. And then they back themselves into a corner like a cat and never want to admit anything, and I freaking hate it.
See, that's 'cause they're putting chemicals in the margarine.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, this is a good one. Per capita consumption of chicken correlates with total U.S. crude oil imports. I knew it.
Like the people who drowned after falling out of a fishing boat correlates with the marriage rate in Kentucky.
Yeah. I'm going to give this one to my wife. Letters in winning word of Scripps National Spelling Bee correlates with the number of people killed by venomous spiders. She'll go, yep, I told you, the spiders, you can't trust them.
Has an 80% correlation. Oh, this is great.
This is great. Yeah. They have a book of this?
I think it's sold out or not being printed right now or something like that.
They got some used ones.
At least the physical one. I think there's a e-book version.
Yeah, there's a Kindle version for only $2, so that's pretty cool.
But I would want the physical version because this is a coffee table book.
For sure.
Yeah, this is incredible. I love that this is now my new favorite place on the internet. This is great. Anyway, yeah, so hopefully people find some of that helpful. I do. I'm fascinating too. Feeling fed up with weirdness. Somebody the other day said that Omicron, if you rearrange the letters, something dumb. And they were trying, it was somehow being used to prove a point that they were right about the whatever conspiracy it was about. And I can't remember. But then somebody else...
stop the steal if you take away some letters and add some letters.
It was basically that. And so somebody else turned around and says, well, look, I took the same word and I made up stuff like, God is bad, or, I can't remember what they were, but they were like all these things. And it's like, that's the whole thing with letters. You mix them up, I can spell all kinds of dumb shit. Why am I in such a mood today?
It does actually spell moronic if you change the letters.
Yeah. Yeah. And so,
or
I guess it depends
on who
you think is being moronic in the scenario that we're talking about. But it's all dumb, and I'm sick of dumb. Yeah. I'm so sick of dumb. We gotta up our.
Oh, it's like people who look at patterns and numbers, like dates and things like that. Oh,
right,
numerology. Yeah,
oh, those guys. I don't see any patterns. I just think they're cool. Because then, and also they're rare.
I'm kidding.
So like our 2021 is just rare now, That's
that,
rare,
by that's, the way, that's seriously my favorite recurring conversation that you guys have. Is.
I don't know why I like it. There's something about
because
it.
Every time you have it, you guys both have the conversation like it's the very first time you've ever had it.
Oh, there it is. Cold Cash found it. It's Omicron plus Delta. You can rearrange those letters to say media control. But then somebody did like a giant list of other things, and it was hilarious. And some of them were really spurious.
That's really funny
things. But yeah, let's all do better, everybody. Critically think your way through life. Stop being dumb. All right,
it's not easy, so I will come with lessons every once in a while. Okay,
cool. Right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Hey, tell people where more science can be found on the internet in form of a podcast you make.
I have a podcast with my wonderful co-host, Maura. Her and I talk every week about science news and things we find interesting in science. And we do it from a very non-expert position because neither of us are scientists ourselves. We're just very big fans of science. And so we like to talk about it. This episode that just came out yesterday was all about the James Webb Space Telescope. That jet is about to launch on Christmas Eve, hopefully, fingers crossed. It's been delayed a couple of times. Well, it's been delayed a lot. It was originally, I think, supposed to launch in like 2007 or something crazy like that.
Oh my gosh.
But it's finally ready. It's all packed up and on top of the rocket, and it's supposed to launch. And this is a big deal. There are a lot of scientists who are basically saying the future of like space science it relies on this telescope getting up into space. Yeah. And there are 344 points of failure in this whole process.
Well, if you look at the number 344 and rearrange it, it's the same number as my grandma's area code. Oh, no! Well, good luck to them. And also check out that show, everybody. It's good stuff. Yep. Bobby, have a fantastic time. Hope you feel better. Have a great Christmas, man.
Yeah, you too. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah, we'll see you soon.
See you, Bobby.
Right. Bye now. All right. Well, we did it again.
M. Sun Cow in the AM Sun Cow in the chat room said, that reminds me of a film sack where Scott rearranged Street Fighter to spell shit critique.
That was Brian.
And I replied back and I said, oh, he did he?
That was 100% Brian. I have that clip somewhere of you saying it, in fact.
Yes.
Oh, it's so good. You know what?
It's totally fine, AM Sun Cow. I'm totally taking the piss, as Claire would say. Yeah,
Taking the piss. We're gonna get that into the U.S. vernacular finally. I really
like
that.
I like it. It's a good...
Is this you or Fletcher? Let me play it.
Shit Gratifter.
That's Fletcher.
Yeah, the Fletcher Shit Gratifter is the...
That's the one everyone knows.
Is the best, yes.
The confusion there is his name is Scott. My name is Scott. He probably...
Right, and so he thinks Scott Fletcher did it. Everyone thinks John was the first one to do the Dear Martha stuff. You know, come on.
No, if I'm making a top 10 list of all-time film sack moments, that's in the top 10. It's one of my favorites. That and...
It's so funny because I just could not come up with a good Twitter post for Street Fighter. That's all it stemmed from.
Sometimes your best ones or any of our best work is like last second, like, this will work.
It really is. Yeah. Like, I've got nothing. What am I doing? Yeah.
This is one of my favorites. And also Dunaway's Mingo phone.
It's the best. The Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon. The fact that he called it a Mingo phone.
Booby Slave.
Yeah, Booby Slave. That's what it was. Hold on. Do I have that? Hold on. You guys need to know how great this is. Mingo phone. Here it is. This is Brian Dunaway.
Booby Slave. Booby Slave, retrieve me my Mingo phone. I need to contact Flash Gordon.
So much. What's great about that is it's like a fight with a boxer. You get hit with Booby Slave, and while you're processing Booby Slave, like, he hits you three or four more times with other funny things, and you're lost.
Calling those phones that they used Mingo phones is just
Mingo
hilarious.
Phones, it's like a rope-a-dope. It's what it is.
So good. Anyway, one of these years we'll make a top 10 list. Make Jamie go dig up.
Dunaway used Booby Slave. Great, great, very effective, super effective.
All right, that's it for Bobby, of course, and that's it for the show. Big thanks to everybody for joining us today, and everybody wish Bill at Chinbeard on Twitter a nice Christmas, since we didn't get to talk to him. I'm sure he's having a great time. Going to see his parents and stuff. You can find us at patreon.com/TMS, where supporting the show will get you bonus content every day, a free show on the weekend, never an ad to be played, and stuff in the mail if you're at the right levels, teas and coffees and prints and all sorts of stuff. Go check it out, patreon.com/TMS. For everything else, frogpants.com/TMS. Send us your emails at themorningstream@gmail.com. And while you're at it, give us a follow on Twitter. Brian's at Coverville. I'm at Scott Johnson. You can find the show at Morning Stream. Okie dokie. We'll be back tomorrow with the normals, all the normals.
That's right. But the day after that, no normals. It is Christmas Among Us.
Christmas Among Us. Among Us?
Merry Christmas.
That's not bad. We'll workshop it. We'll come up with the best name. But that'll be tomorrow.
Christmas Us.
Yeah, Thursday, rather. That'll be a lot of fun. So come for that, and then stay for this song, though, that Brian's about to play. Brian, what do you got?
Yeah. September McCready, who goes by 9 of 12, because September is the 9th. Of month of 12.
Yeah.
She wrote in and said, hey, this year we're celebrating our 22nd anniversary. Too bad it's not the 21st anniversary on the 21st day of the last 21st year in the 21st century.
It's a bummer.
Durr. Plan better next time. September. Yeah. She says, the first time I met my husband, he was out busking on the street in Toronto. I asked him to play Wish You Were Here. A couple years ago, I asked him to learn Bowie's As the World Falls Down as an anniversary gift. He did, and he usually plays a Bowie song for me each set when he has a gig. There's so many songs that accompany our love story, but I'll just leave these two for you to choose from and surprise me. Thanks, Brian. Best, Ember.
Nice.
Well, first off, love September, and this is my way of apologizing for missing a couple of other requests that she put in, and happy to play this one for you. Listen, As the World Falls Down, I think might be my favorite David Bowie song. It's a song from Labyrinth that he hypnotizes Jennifer Connelly and dances with her, which I think is something we'd all like to do.
Sure. I know I did in 1987 when I saw that movie. I know that.
I certainly did. Mm-hmm. Yes. Anyway, let's play a cover of that. This is from, completely ironically, Girl in a Coma.
Nice.
From 2010, their album Adventures in Coverland, which is a competing podcast of mine, Girl in a Coma and their cover of As the World Falls Down.
There's such a sign, love, deep in your eyes, a kind of pale dream, open and closed within your eyes. I'll place the sky within your eyes. There's such a fool heart, beating so fast in such a new dreams, a love that will last within your heart. I'll place the moon within your heart. As the pain sweeps through, makes no sense for you. Every thrill is gone, wasn't too much fun at all. But I'll be there for you. Strangers till now, we're choosing the path between the stars. I'll live my life between the stars. As the pain sweeps through, makes no sense for you. Every thrill is gone, wasn't too much fun.
Show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
You wipe his ass too.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter.
Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.